Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by James Dowse.
Hiya.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
That was a very happy hire. Yeah. James Dowse, are you having a nice time?
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
He's having a lovely time. Josh Brown, what sort of time are you having?
I'm having a great time. Call me Robert Pattinson, because I'm having a good time.
That's very good. I can't think of a single follow-up to that, because it's too hot in England, and I'm sweaty. The thing that you need to know is that the PlayStation Plus premium service has been detailed even more than we thought, including the first round of games that are going to be on the service. This thing is their backwards compatible style legacy tribute thing that we're going to be paying a whole bunch of money for every month. And Sony, you might say, have dropped the ball. But before I say that, no, I did say this is a What Culture Gaming Podcast, didn't I? That's the first time.
Yeah,
I said
you did.
It.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Sony stuff. I want to know what you guys think, your immediate reactions to this list of games, because I was a bit flat on it.
Yeah, it's a bit dire, flat, isn't it? But
lads,
no. Hold your horses there, Joshua.
Lads,
it's dire, but I know that it will get good. One day.
Okay.
Like Danny Dyer
Danny
himself.
Dyer. Yes. Yes, there you are.
I think that's true.
There you are.
Too hot in this room. Josh Brown, carry on.
Listen, you think it's dropped the ball.
I do.
You think it's dire but has potential to grow.
Yep.
I think they've hit like a one-pointer. I think they've got like,
they did get the ball in.
Into the hoop and they scored 1 point. They haven't scored 3 points. You know, they've just done quite well. For me, it is what it needs to be right now. I think if you're getting it for new games, it's good. If you're wanting a backwards compatibility machine, it's bad.
Well, that's kind of where I came down on it, because I did like a little jokey tweet saying, you know, like going into it, that everything was all on the table. The idea that it could be this incredible service that's everything from Soul Reaver to Bishy Bashy Special to Resident Evil 2 and all the Metal Gear Solids. Just, it's a PlayStation legacy monthly thing. You have one of the greatest back catalogs in gaming history. Why are you not taking full advantage of that? And so when they came out and said, well, we've got Hot Shots Golf, we've got Mr. Driller, and we've got like Tekken 2, then I was just like, well, this is really, really weak. However, I'm not necessarily against the whole thing, or am I that negative on it? I think it's interesting the way that they've split the difference between the way that Xbox does their Game Pass stuff and the way that Nintendo do their Switch Online stuff, which is to say that on the Xbox side, you've got this big sort of menagerie of games every month, like 6 to 8 different games, maybe 10 games or whatever it is, all of premium quality, all like nigh on worth playing. They're very, very much curated. However, one of the downsides of Game Pass, I feel, is the completion rates suffer. I don't feel like people actually finish most of the games they play on Game Pass, which is something that I feel Nintendo tried to address by going, here's 2 games or 3 games or 4 games that you'll get through because we're giving you a bunch of time in between the when the you know, service gets updated, but they are old ancient games from 30, 40 years old that no one's ever going to want to play anyway, unless it's something like Banjo-Kazooie or Majora's Mask or something. But most of the games that are added to Nintendo Switch Online are for the NES or for the SNES, and no one's bothered. So Sony have kind of gone, well, we'll give you a handful every now and then, lol, but for the most part, it'll be games that, you know, you're actually going to want to play, and it's not going to be as many as Game Pass, nor is it going to be as threadbare as the Switch.
I would agree that I think they
did
are...
Did I just talk for 20 whole minutes?
You did, but it was great. It was all good analysis, man.
Thank you.
You blew my head off.
Nailed
you
it.
Massaged my mind.
Very nice. Sweating.
Well done.
I agree that they've sort of split the difference, haven't they? You know, like you said, you know, they've gone in between kind of both approaches, and they're trying to worm their way into the space.
To be fair, Josh Brown, Worms and Worms Armageddon is on here.
It certainly is. This and then there is... therein lies the rub. Therein lies my issue. This would have been a home run for me had those older PlayStation titles been, say, Tekken 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yes.
Say, Siphon Filter 1, 2, 3, and 4. If they had like a bunch of old franchises, you know, almost in totality on there, I'd have been like, that's awesome. It's just the things that they have picked in regards to those older games. You know, I'm a fan of Tekken 2, but it's no Tekken 3.
Well, the thing is,
I'm a fan of Siphon Filter 1. It's no Siphon Filter. What's the one you like, Scott?
Oh, man, like, give Logan's, me Logan's Shadow.
That's the one,
give me Dark Mirror. give me all the follow-up ones.
May I ask a question?
You may.
The PlayStation Classic console, can you remember that?
Little Diddy one.
What happened to all of the games that they got for that?
Well, that was the thing. So with the initial, the PlayStation Mini Classic thing, whatever you want to call it, they apparently trialed a whole bunch of games like Soul Reaver, like Metal Gear Solid. Well, Metal Gear made it onto there, but the wider stuff. And then apparently they trialed them all first, or emulated them or whatever. And then they went to the various companies and said, we've made sure this can work. Can we actually do the licensing deal? And they all went, hell no, we're not doing any of that. We'll keep Crash for ourselves. Thanks very much. We've got a remaster coming. And so none of those things actually came to fruition. But yeah, PC people who dove into the files or whatever realized that that game list is like what a PlayStation Classic should be. And I would argue that's what this should be. And in theory, I guess they'll build to it. But to run down the games that are listed as their classic PlayStation games, it's Ape Escape, Hot Shots Golf, IQ, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Siphon Filter, Super Stardust Portable, and then from third parties, Mr. Driller, Tekken 2, Worms World Party, and Worms Armageddon. Now, very, very quickly, right? The thing that irks me with this, before I pass this back over, because I'm talking a lot again, is that they've classed the PS2 games as the games that they've already remastered and re-released on PlayStation 4/5. It's backwards compatible on PS5. These are just the PS2 games that you re-released, that I guess the frame rate's a bit higher, and some of them are like touched up a little bit, but you're not widening it to a ton of PS2 games. These are the games you can go buy right now. Yeah. In fact, they say that if you already own them, you can just download them separately. You don't have to get them as part of the new service. So I'm just kind of like, bleh. Like, what did you really do? Like, all the PS1 games are the same ports again, like, other than you can rewind them. So that's kind of cool.
I know what you mean. That is kind of cool.
That is
kind of cool.
What are you going to rewind? Siphon Filter?
I will do that.
Nothing here is remotely hard. Siphon Filter's not hard.
Siphon Filter 1 is kind of tricky, man.
That's a bit tricky.
I went back to that on the PlayStation Classic. Thank you for reminding me about that.
One of the worst ways you could play any game on Earth.
Losing my mind. It certainly is. Horrible. But what irks me on a personal level about this list, and to be fair, I, like I said, to reiterate, I do think it's quite good. They've managed to choose the classic games that I already own. Like, I own 5 PlayStation 1 games, and 2 of them are Siphon Filter 1 and Tekken 2, and I'm like, how did you know that I own those games? I already can play those. Give me something else that I can't play.
I do like that you can go on the store and download separate executables of these, so you could just get a tile on your homepage on the dashboard for Tekken 2. That's kind of cool.
So when you rewind and stuff, is that in a on Nintendo, you've got the Nintendo Switch Online. Mm-hmm. That's its own app. Do you open that app to get into the games?
They say all the games. So I think they're all separate games, but then they also have a. They said something about a different overlay or something that you're going to use to access PS1 games and PSP games. This also drills home, Mr. Driller, the fact that they're not doing PS Vita games, which was one of the up in the air things for little old me. Because when they said, "Oh, we're going to do PlayStation and PlayStation portable systems games," that could have meant all the PS Go stuff and all the PS Vita stuff, all the good stuff. No.
Here's the thing, though.
PSP.
Why I think this is a good list, you know, in its totality, not just looking at the classic games, is that I was going through it yesterday, and I was saying, I can't wait to play that.
Right.
I'm so pleased that's on there. Right. There were at least 5 games that I genuinely will download day
Ark
one.
Ark the Lad.
And we'll get through them. Ark the Lad, tragically, not one of them.
It's on there.
Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, though, I will definitely download. The Infamous games, I will definitely play. Resistance, I want to go back and replay. And I know some of those games are already on PlayStation Now in its current form, but... For me, all this list had to do was get, like, you know when you have E3 or any kind of conference, and the goal is to have 3 games in that showcase for any one person to get excited about. For me, the same kind of criteria applies to this. If someone comes away from this thinking there are 3 games on there that I can't wait to play, for me, it's done its job. So I pass this over to you boys. Were there 3 games on there that you can't wait to play?
This service has done the best thing for Returnal.
It's
nobody's going to buy that game, and now they can.
Nor should they.
No. They now have no excuse not to play that game, and that's all
they do because it's terrible. Just don't touch it. Leave it alone.
Scott, you're wrong. but I get, I'm looking at this list.
Yes.
I can finally play Bloodborne.
Yes.
And the other one, which was Demon's Souls.
Bloodborne in 30 FPS, because they're still not going to do anything. Oh, yeah.
It still owns, though, guys. Yeah, I played it recently.
If Arkham Origins can run in higher frames, why can't Bloodborne? I ask you.
The frames would make it better, but the fact of the matter is that I guess that's another thing that we can pivot into. Mm. Thank you for bringing that up, James. That was sure always a pleasure. The fact that obviously a big part of Game Pass's appeal is that you're playing the best versions of those titles. We don't know how these games are necessarily going to run. Like you said, they've kind of got around that in the short term because they're using the PlayStation 4 versions of the PlayStation 2 games, so you know that they're going to mostly work quite fine. But yeah, I want to know whether anything has kind of changed with these titles. Will
I
get stuff like trophy support or anything? Who
well,
knows?
So if you play, that's the kind of the weird thing. If you play the PS2 games that are classed on here as PS4 games, because they're the PS2 games that were re-released on PS4, i.e. the ones on here like Ape Escape 2, Dark Cloud, Hot Shots Tennis, the Jack games, Rogue Galaxy, Siren, Wild Arms 3, they do have trophy support, or they do have better loading times and stuff. So like they've kind of done the work already. However, some of them run like absolute ass. Like Ape Escape 2 runs like hell. So they'll have to go back to that and hopefully tweak it or something, which I hope that they do, because I don't know, there's an approach to this that's really weird, and I wish I could remember the source, but there was something from about a month and a bit ago where it was some dev saying that Sony had been asking them what sort of titles they were going to put on the service, and it just gave this general feel of Sony just having a whip round, just sort of running around studios with a little can, just going to go, just shaking it and going, is there anything you can throw in?
Microsoft own all those properties.
Well, that's another thing, is like they're going to go up against all those licensing conversations and everything. But for me, the question you said about, are there three games on here that made you go, oh my god, I can't wait to play that? No, because everything's already been released, and the PlayStation selection is terrible. Like, I love Ape Escape, it's one of my favorite games. Siphon Filter was on the PlayStation Classic, and then what, Tekken 2? Like, it's a great game, but it's on Tekken 3. Like, what
it's
are we
not Tekken
what
three.
Are we doing,
what
lads?
What three games would you like on there?
Soul Reaver, Resident Evil 2, and Bishi Bashi Special.
Resident Evil 2, Metal Gear Solid 1, and
Metal Gear Solid 1,
PsyOps, the Mind Conspiracy.
The Mind Gate Conspiracy, thank you. Yes, it's a second sight, mate.
Oh, see, God.
Personally, I'd go Midtown Madness. Can you remember that?
Oh, don't.
Oh, my God.
Was that even on PlayStation?
Was it not?
Oh, I think that was an Xbox game, James does.
No, I don't think it was. And then there was another game where, what's that one where you're on your little cars and you're going on the on the tabletops and stuff.
Oh, that's the one that Micro Machines.
That one.
Yes. Midtown Madness is listed as a Xbox published game, so I hate to break it.
Remove what I said. I'm going to say that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Micro Machines. Then two others that I now can't think of. Because
Wrath of Cortex. Just can't get enough.
Wrath of Cortex owns.
It does not own at all. It's not even a thing. It sells. It doesn't own.
Right,
I had
a question for you guys. It's completely gone now. We'll need to think of it again.
But no, the thing is, like, overall, they needed to have a slew of games that is better than the PlayStation Classic, because that thing went down horribly, sold terribly. Though I'm sure there was something about they had to pulp a whole bunch of remaining units, and various stores were sending them back to Sony because they couldn't shift them. And so they had to do something that was just screaming, you know, PlayStation originals. And I assume that when you fire these up from whatever service it has, it'll play the original Sony music and everything. You'll get the golden logo, the old Sony logo. I hope that thing's in there, because they've come a long way as Sony the company, and that stuff will feel really good. And I get that they're going to add to this every sort of month or so, but this for me is an incredibly weak, like, open reason, like, to subscribe. Like, if you're a Game Pass person, this isn't going to sway you away, I don't think.
Weaker than the Nintendo Online service?
No, I think it's about the same.
Okay.
But I think...
But the amount of complaints that's got, the Nintendo one, will the Sony one get the same amount of complaints?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, this, if you actually, like, run... Because the thing is, it's weird. The amount of, like, titles that they've got in here from the PlayStation 4 generation, like you said, Ghost of Tsushima is a reason to invest. For me, I guess I just kind of go, well, it's a director's cut, it's DLC, it's already out. Like, I'm not... This is, like, I think of monthly services as, like, addendums to, like, main games and DLC. So it's, like, I know they're giving you a bundle deal, which is what Nintendo have started doing. Like, here's the DLC for Mario Kart or Splatoon or something. But, yeah, it's a better deal in that regard. Like, way better than anything Nintendo's doing.
I have a fragmented double question here. Mm. The first is, if I'm looking at this as someone who plays games as a job, who is, like, fortunate enough to be in a position where I can more or less buy the games that I want to play, you know, and I've kept up with a lot of games over the past few years because of that, if I was going back to, say, a few years ago when I wasn't in that financial position and I only played a couple of games a year, would I look at this and see the likes of Returnal, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, all of that stuff.
Pat upon remastered.
Tekken 2 and think, this is a great deal. I'm going to be able to jump into a world of games that was previously locked off to me. And I think that is true. I think that is still good value. It's not a Game Pass, and it's not going to like get people to cancel their Game Pass service and jump ship. But for people who only own Sony consoles, I do think it's a good value proposition in that regard.
It's a hell of a value proposition for the new stuff. Like when you said, does it compare to Switch Online? I was thinking of how do they approach the classic stuff. That's why I said they were quite similar. Because I think when you look at what they're throwing in here from PS1, and there's only one PSP game, I think that's really dire compared to what they could have done. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's on the level of how Nintendo barely addresses their past stuff as well. They've got two additional 64 games since the Switch Online stuff started. But like Josh said, as a value proposition in terms of access to like PS4 games and PS5 games, it is insane. But I just wonder what they think internally, considering that it is Jim Ryan at the helm, considering his approach to backwards compatible or older games, whether he's just going, this is how we just remind you of how awesome the new stuff is and just barely address the old stuff. Whereas like that's an open goal. Just do your old stuff. It's a legacy thing. Do both.
I mean, 100%. Not to jump in on you there, James Dow. Sorry. I was just going to say like with people like Jim Ryan who are currently in charge of something, like these are the people who are like, why would you even want to play the old Gran Turismo when you can play the new one? You know, there's a mentality of that in this company, absolutely, that I do think needs to be transformed because there's so much value in old games. Yeah, they might not sell or they might not like, you know, drive the bulk of your profits or whatever. But like we talk about on this podcast all the time and like, you know, we've mentioned in this podcast, that's a legacy that's worth keeping and it's going to satisfy diehard nerds like us who would jump into a subscription like this for that older material.
Now the thing is, because they are adding, they've committed to adding games like every sort of month or so, and they've said that they've only shown off, I think it was like 100 classic games so far of 700 or 800 in total. So there's a good ways to go. It's one of those things where are you going to be hanging on the hook going like, is this month when we get Soul Reaver? Is this when this can comes back? Or are the monthly additions going to be almost more third-party stuff, newer stuff, more like Game Pass? I wonder how much they think of it as a legacy service, because this is, as an opening salvo, this is more a recent bargain deal thing to do. Like, you know, here's a bunch of games that you might have missed all in one bundle. That's great. It doesn't feel like a legacy service.
Do you know when like a new game comes out, let's say Wolverine, that's probably not going to be on this service when that
they've
comes
said
out.
Nothing that's new will be added. Okay,
right. So is that like a smack in the face to someone like Returnal being like, oh, well, our game's not the best of the best. It's now on this service.
I would say the difference is, you know, because you got Spider-Man Miles Morales in here as well.
Yeah.
To me, that kind of indicates that while these titles might not be there at launch, give it, you know, a year, maybe a little bit longer, it will eventually trickle down.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll fluctuate per game.
Yeah.
If something tanks, like if it was Destruction All-Stars or Concrete Genie or the exclusives that have absolutely tanked, they'll go on the service maybe the next month.
That's just Sony admitting what's their bad games and their good games.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're dancing around the fact that the £70 price point thing was never going to sustain.
Yeah.
Like they announced that and then Xbox undercut them massively with Game Pass and said all of our stuff's coming to Game Pass day one and they just can't walk that back. So they've tried to split the difference, but like no one's like, you know, the premium £70 price point has very rarely been justified, I find.
And they keep saying, you know, that they're out there in interviews. I'm talking about them like there's some kind of like faceless scare, Evil Dead esque.
They're more faceless these days than they've ever been.
But no, you know, people from Sony executives, Jim Ryan, etc., have been doing interviews saying, you know, continuing to push the line that if they put their, you know, first party titles on a service like Game Pass, it'll dilute the quality. You know, we won't be able to pump as much money into it. And that might be true, but it's kind of like, to me, it sounds like the $70 line of, well, they're just so good. You will get another job to pay.
It's just like, this feels like I said, there was that whole thing about, it feels like it's been thrown together last minute. There's more of an emphasis on newer titles and Sony first party stuff. Obviously, that's because Sony's first party stuff came into its own across the PS4 and the PS5, so they can lock all those things down. In terms of doing the wider deals with third parties or in terms of diving into emulation, like there's a whole thing about the backwards compatibility team that Xbox has, how they go out and talk to the devs and actually like literally research how do we get something from the original Xbox working better than ever, or do we HDR frame rate upgrades, whatever it is. I don't think Sony are putting that time in. I just don't see it. Like when you look at their old stuff, it's just a smattering of random stuff. Like I said, Mr. Driller or Loco Roco or whatever. Like it's very forward thinking, which is fine. But like for me, they're not doing the old stuff justice.
Have they not just made up a team for the PS3 emulation? I'm fairly certain they've just created a small team. But again,
it's so responsive. Sorry, it's so reactive to
what we said.
Yeah. And it's just like to literally me and you. Like, when we did the Nintendo podcast, we were like, get this right. But overall, like, they've just set that up now. Mm. That should have been set up years ago before you got to this point, so that we're not relying on streaming for the PS3.
Yeah, when Xbox announced that they were doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, we need to do this.
But Sony always do that. They always wait and they go, okay, what's the competition doing? That's why I think this feels like a hybrid of Nintendo Switch Online and Game Pass, because they're just like, okay, we can split it down the middle. Mm. Like certain premium titles that have reputations, but not too many of them at once, so that you actually play them every couple of weeks.
I don't want to be like being over here in the corner just trying to cut them excuses or anything, but when I look at, you know, what Xbox did with Game Pass, like that's the anomaly, right? You know, they were talked about how when they first introduced backwards compatibility.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
To the Xbox One, just how much work that was to go into the machine, to go into these games and retrofit it and just make it work. And we're comparing this, and I honestly mean this in the nicest way possible, we're comparing that and the resources and the power that went into that to a company who took like 10 years to figure out how to let people change their names on you know what I mean?
And still like, now if you do it, it'll break a game,
100%, and there's still games that will break, you know? I look at this service and I think it is good, and I just wonder whether I expected too much expecting a Microsoft-style thing where Microsoft has proven themselves to be an anomaly in this space, you know? Nintendo's not interested in doing the Microsoft thing. Mm. Sony clearly isn't interested in fully going in the way Microsoft have. And is that just because Microsoft, you know, have found their niche, they found the thing that works for them, and thus are committed to dedicating their endless resources to investing in it? You know, the reality of this whole industry is that the Xbox division of Microsoft isn't kind of put under as much pressure as the PlayStation division is to perform for their parent company.
No, that's true.
Because, you know, Xbox is kind of like this weird anomaly that even if it fails, you know, Microsoft's got all of this other stuff bringing in billions of dollars, whereas the PlayStation service is instrumental to Sony's success. And I know they got, like, other things, but for the longest time, PlayStation was the thing that was saving that company, you know? So maybe they just don't have that kind of bandwidth to be able to go, right, we're going to put so many bodies on backwards compatibility and make this a proper thing. They're going to go, let's take the PlayStation 2 games on PS4. Let's take Tekken 2 and just try to
feels like the bare minimum, though. Like, if they're flying the flag for Sony and Sony PlayStation, there are lifetime memories associated with that. Like, I'm not like, I saw some people on Twitter have been like, oh, you got carried away with your expectations. I only ever going to react to what's in front of me. I think just think it's lame. Like, it's a boring first effort. Like, you know, there's so much more they could have done.
Do you not think, though, that the backwards compatibility that Xbox did was because they were like theoretically losing the last generation? Yes. So they needed to be like, oh, we need a new idea. Game Pass come along. So they put everybody on it. PlayStation are winning regardless, and Nintendo are winning regardless. So it was Xbox who had to do it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, their whole approach to this is incredibly reactive to Game Pass. Like, you can just feel it. Like you said, the PS3 emulation team being put together so last minute, and the fact that they announced all of it on a blog post, like, it's barely had any real marketing to it. Yeah. It's kind of just like a Jim Ryan being like, oh, is that what you guys want? Oh, right, okay, sure, fine. Oh, that's what you do. And we'll find it out. We'll see what it does, and we'll maybe do something else later if it takes off. But it didn't have the confidence behind it that Game Pass did. But there's a potential for it. The massive upside to this, which is a huge positive that I keep hinting at, is that if they add something worthwhile every month or 2 months, like, because at one point it's listed on the list of third parties titles that are coming to the service, it just says Resident Evil. It doesn't say 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. And I wonder, that could be a misprint, but I wonder if that is just Capcom saying, will eventually do all of them, like, over time. And so the massive positive to me is that, like, let's say, you know, you get around, because we get Game Pass announcements every month and you come through on the app and everything. This could be a way to actually shine a light on something like a PsyOps, like a Soul Reaver, like a Blood Omen or whatever, because that month you actually get the marketing push of this month on PlayStation Premium, we're returning to Resident Evil 2 or whatever it is, and you get it. It gets its day in the sun again. It gets the social media stuff.
I wonder if third parties have a massive deal with Microsoft, though, where it can only be on Microsoft's service. So all of these games, I'm fairly certain Resident Evil has maybe just come off Games Pass. I'm not sure.
Oh, God, RE7.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Red Dead Redemption 2 was on Game Pass for a little bit. It's very short.
Well, that's taken off.
Yes, because it is on premium.
Yeah.
But those deals, those licensing deals, this is going to change everything. Yeah. Because now when someone like Xbox or Sony gets in touch with the third party, they're going up against the direct competition. Like, well, we'll take it for this month, or we'll take it for a week or whatever.
Yeah, who do they give it to? Who pays more?
A fascinating thing that you mentioned there, James Dowse. It's completely changed kind of part of what I think about this, because if you compare it to movie streaming services, you know, there are so many that have launched in America that still aren't here. You know, you've got Paramount Plus, you had Disney.
I want to watch the Halo show.
You do. I don't know if you do, man. I've heard bad things about that.
I don't know.
Even Disney Plus, it took like months to come over here compared to America. And that was partly because there were so many licensing agreements with the likes of Sky, you know, in the UK that had a lot of the content wrapped up. Now you mentioned that, I'm like, that could absolutely be a reason why they can't get some of these franchises, because Microsoft might have got there first, or Nintendo might have got there first, or whatever, in kind of being like, look, we want to tie you down to our platform for X amount of months. And then Sony's gone in and being like, right, who's available? Who can we sway to our service?
And then will Microsoft lend Sony Crash like they did with Banjo?
That's when it'll get really tight, because that's when
it's just like, you can have this for a bit.
Well, that's like, if you're Phil Spencer or you're Xbox and you're already thinking 10 steps ahead, then he's already thought of all this stuff in regards to this is the way that content planning and monthly services are going to go, which is why they're doing so much aggressive takeover stuff, because they want to lock down those IP. So Fallout, Doom, like Elder Scrolls, whatever it is, they can all just go, no, you want them, you come to Game Pass. Yeah. Like, they're playing nice now. That's obviously that conversation that was doing the rounds when the acquisition happened, was whether they would make them Xbox exclusive. They clearly will be. Or I used the phrase, which I think will become an actual phrase, Game Pass exclusive. And we talked about that before doing some news once. I think that will become a thing where you think of Game Pass as the platform, even though it's on TVs or whatever, the whole idea of it being the Xbox app and everything. But yeah, I absolutely think we are in for a future of IPs that just bounce between different monthly services. Nintendo's just the one that won't care, because they're just not going to compete in this space. They're happy for you to get excited about Final Fantasy VI coming to the Switch, which I would, to be fair. I'll take that over whatever else is on the cards. I don't mind.
It's so funny because, you know, at this moment we have Game Pass, but like I said, that's kind of an anomaly. So all I have to compare it to is the way like the movie studios, you know, deal with this stuff. And if you look at like Netflix, Amazon Prime, Apple TV, whatever, like Netflix obviously pushes for its own content, which in this analogy will be like the PlayStation exclusives. You know, that's what drives subscribers in their eyes. But there's still so much value in, say, having the exclusive rights to Friends on that platform, which in this case might be like all of the Resident Evil games or something. Yeah. So it's kind of like this weird balancing act, and I think Sony can survive at least initially on the merit of their first party content, exclusive content, but they do need to have like a Friends there.
But that's
need
the thing.
To have something else eventually.
Like that idea is so fascinating because like I'm saying, they can do, you know, this month is Resident Evil month and the entire back catalog of Resident Evil is locked down. Sony's paid the money for the next 2 months and it's all Resident Evil, it's all on PlayStation, buy a month of PlayStation Premium, PlayStation Plus Premium, and go indulge in those games, and then not on Game Pass for those months. Like, are those the kind of deals that get done? Because there are entire back catalogs available. Like, Xbox and Game Pass have bought, I don't know if it's a time-limited thing, but all the Yakuza games. And at one point, they announced that all the Final Fantasy games were coming, and it was a bulk thing. And so there's those things where you're buying entire back catalogs, and like whether that works for a mainstream audience, like, is someone going to sit and play all those games in a row? Like, maybe, I know you will, but maybe. But that's the thing. It's like, does that then get advertised as, in the future, is that the... Is that the clash? Like, you know, you wait for your favorite IP, then all the Metal Gear Solids.
You'll
in the
see which
thing.
Developer likes which person. Yeah. Like, you'll see which Sega sticks to Microsoft.
Yes.
Enix to Sony.
I was going to say, we know that Capcom and Square Enix absolutely love Sony, they'll go that way.
And I think that's the only way to trade subscribers and to steal subscribers. Because at this moment in time, at least right now, knowing what we know, what is on the horizon, like games and projects-wise, like people know if they like Sony games or if they prefer Microsoft games. Like people know if they like Horizon over Gears and whatever. They're already with those services. Mm. What might make them interested in the other competition right now is securing those deals, like you said, you know, having Xbox have all of Resident Evil, and suddenly Resident Evil fans who are on Sony's platform think, damn, like I wanted to give that a try. Maybe I'll have to switch for that. I do think they're valuable in that way, exactly like you said, you know.
Do you think it's weird though that, like you mentioned, like people know what a PlayStation game is now, almost to a false, like it's a homogenous over shoulder, you know, crafting components, mild open world elements, etc. And because the service is so heavily weighted towards newer titles, or let's say sort of 2013 onwards, that is almost selling themselves short. Because like, I mean, obviously the PlayStation embraced their exclusives PS4 onwards, but older PlayStation stuff was way more varied, whether it was like from Killzone to Crash Bandicoot to Jack and Daxter to Mag
to Knack.
Or Knack or whatever. Like they were trying a lot more stuff. Like if you're going to say this is a PlayStation monthly service, to me you need way more representation of a diversity of genres. Like for the longest time we've said they need a first person shooter. You know, they need a new first person shooter that isn't Killzone.
Destiny.
technically you can lock down Destiny. But yeah, I'm curious how those things shake out, because on the Xbox side, and Dallas, you've said loads that the Xbox first party stuff is just barely held together. Yeah. Halo Infinite is barely holding together. But at the same time, Xbox almost stands for a greater genre diversity or mechanical diversity in their games. Sea of Thieves versus Sunset Overdrive or something. And in the modern day, whereas like, I think that's a whole other conversation, is like, what are you investing in on a monthly basis? Or do you just go between the two?
I think you make like a really good point there, you know. When it comes to those Sony first parties, it's almost like, again, I'm making a lot of movie references in this podcast. I don't know why.
Movies got the jump on the monthly service thing.
Totally. Yeah. But like their first parties reminds me of like the MCU, you know. It's like, I can look at the MCU movies and I like most of them. And I can say, you know, oh, this needs to be more inventive. You need to take a risk with this. But then a movie comes out and it makes $1 billion. And I'm like, maybe I'm wrong. You know, I think that way with some of the first party Sony stuff, where I'm like, yeah, it's becoming homogenized. And yeah, you know, we can talk on podcasts and be like, they need to change things and they need to be fresh. And that might be true. Mm. But at the same time, if you're selling a service, those games are selling better than anything did on the PlayStation 3. You know, like Horizon is absolutely up there. You know, Ghost of Tsushima did way better than anyone expected. Even something like Days Gone is like selling really well. You know, where he is saying like, yeah, is that reflective? But at the same time, it's like Sony knows those are selling. Sony knows like the mass audience want them. Maybe that's just all they want to lock down. Maybe they're not really interested in diversifying in that way because they know the audience already is there.
No, it's true. I see on the horizon the stagnation of that formula. Like I kind of felt it in Uncharted Lost Legacy, or I started to feel it in Ghost of Tsushima or whatever it is. And I think that's something that they need to address eventually. One thing I want to throw in is that we mentioned the idea of like different companies siding with each side, whether it's Sony or Microsoft. Ubisoft Plus is coming to this PlayStation service, which is kind of funny because EA Play is part of Game Pass. You're not just investing in the first party, you're getting a catalog of third-party stuff too. So you've got, you know, this breakdown of the way that they're splitting the Ubisoft Plus service, where they're doing Ubisoft Plus Classics as part of the PlayStation Plus collection in itself, as well, and then the, I guess the wider Ubisoft Plus stuff. But even then, we already have taking sides starting to happen, which is an interesting precedent going forward.
I don't know about you guys, but the Ubisoft Plus Classics thing just does nothing for me. That's
would you like 20 of the same game?
I was about to say, it's like adding one game. Yeah. It's like, why would I want to play the same game over and over again? You know, Xbox has, you know, the EA thing, but at least like that brings a lot of different types of games to Game Pass. Yeah, like
Sports and Titanfall.
How classic? Like, just limiting to Far Cry.
Well, so that's the thing. So the list of Ubisoft Plus classics that are going to be part of the service are Assassin's Creed Valhalla, For Honor, The Crew 2, Child of Light, Eagle Flight, 3 Far Cries, Far Cry 3, Far Cry 3 Remastered, and Blood Far Cry 4, Legendary Fishing, Risk, Urban Assault, both South Park games, Space Junkie, Star Trek Bridge Crew, quite a few more, Starling, Steep, The Crew, The Division, Trackmania, Turbo, Transference, Trials Fusion, Trials Rising.
They're not classics. Because there's Rayman, there's the Trials games.
Rayman did not get a look in.
Why is
this.
Rayman not on there?
I don't know.
Rabbid series?
Why is Rayman not on the PlayStation 1 one,
yeah,
man?
Yeah. And it, well, I guess he was on the PlayStation Mini, and he's not even on the new one.
So true.
Trials, we've got Trials Fusion, Trials of the Blood Dragon.
Trials is coming.
And Trials Rising. Yeah, there are some, but not Trials Mania, although that one was, that was actually good. What's the one that was really good?
You know, Trials Rising.
No, I know. That's what they're doing, the one with the loot boxes. We're getting that.
Evolution.
Trials Evolution. Yeah,
that
was
my favorite. Yeah,
that was when it was good. But yeah, so you've got all the Ubisoft stuff trying to bolster them, you know, their sort of value proposition. Mm-hmm. But it's just interesting. I think the amount of different archives of content that we're getting every month, and you put it alongside the movie stuff. That's a whole other thing I was going to talk about to sort of round this stuff out, or potentially round it out, is the buying habits of the mainstream. Because I have Netflix and Amazon Prime. I've just gotten rid of Disney Plus, and that's about it. I've just bought Apple TV. But I, like, talking to some friends about it, they rotate their monthly subscriptions quite a lot. They'll only buy like 1 month or 3 months and then see how it goes and then trade it out. Whereas I was committing to years of this stuff over and over again. How are you guys on managing your monthly stuff?
Yeah, I've got my Spotify and my Disney Plus. That's the only two I really need. And then, you know, you steal off other people.
Brothers. He's a password sharer, yeah, that kid.
I don't pay for all that. I've just cancelled my Game Pass just to see what this will be like for the month, even though it's, 21st of next month, is it?
Sure.
I'm fairly certain, yeah. So I just want to try it for a month and then probably go back to Game Pass.
That's what I think is interesting. I think people, obviously, if you have multiple consoles or you have something that accesses Game Pass as well as the PlayStation stuff, the idea of going between them only puts more impetus on what is your monthly offering that month.
Yeah.
And maybe it benefits you as a mainstream consumer. It doesn't necessarily, because the annuals are cheaper. If you buy a year of something, it's going to be cheaper. But it might benefit you to just wait and see what's on the cards each month.
Realistically, most people don't have both, though, do they?
No.
So PlayStation players will finally just have a service that they'll go into.
Yeah. But I think in terms of the competition, like if you are someone who ends up buying both, and because Microsoft are putting Game Pass on PC and making it more available through streaming and everything, then I think that direct competition is interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think that kind of comes back to what you were talking about, like which one has the most valuable IP and whether they'll make more acquisitions. Like I will probably always, or at least mostly, keep Game Pass because I know I like the studios they have. You know, I want to play stuff by Bethesda. I want to play stuff by Arkane, you know, The Evil Within 2 or what have you. So for me, I mean, I'm terrible though. Like I'm a terrible
You've got, like, the
consumer
Hallmark subscription, haven't you?
When it comes to like subscriptions. You know those, like, you know those
Discovery Plus, have you got that?
I don't.
There was something you reeled off and I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
MGM, man. I've got an MGM subscription. I'm one of those people. I'm like perfect for these companies because I will get the free trial and then just never cancel it. It's 18 months later and I'm like, I should probably cancel Mubi now, but
you really should.
It's still there. So I do think I'm an anomaly in that regards. But you know, when it comes to like the gaming ones, they're so different and they're different enough that I think, I mean, again, I'm privileged enough to be able to get both, but I probably would just get both and keep them going.
Well, I think, I mean, like PlayStation Plus Premium or whatever we want to call the top tier thing and Game Pass are the Netflix and Prime of the gaming streaming world, if we go with Netflix and Prime being the top two giants.
What is funny, though, is my friend just got PS Now for the first time.
Right.
And I've seen him only play FIFA and MLB The Show, not play any game on that service, because most people on my friend list just play FIFA or Fortnite.
Well, that's a whole other thing as well, is the idea of monetizing one game, like Rockstar with GTA Plus. It's like, we're going to make GTA Online free and you can just get it through GTA Plus. Yeah. And that's your, like, that's your, per, do we get to a point where it's per game monthly subscriptions? Yeah.
Well,
like,
realistically, the people who get this are only going to just play the one game, and that would be Fortnite. that's all they'll play.
They're not all ill, James Stars, playing Fortnite.
I've been paying for Game Pass since, probably its inception, until I cancelled it recently. I was like, the past 6 months, all I've played is Fortnite. Why am I playing game? Why am I paying for game? I mean, that's not true. I'm not that sad. But, like, that's all I've paid for. Like, the past 6 months, I've just wasted, what, like, 60
Well, so that, that's the thing I said at the beginning, because I, like, there's a reason Xbox don't talk about completion data per games on Game Pass. They talk about the fact that average people who play Game Pass will play 40% more games and experience 30% more genres, but they won't finish anything. Yeah. And I think that's an interesting thing to nail down. Like, if you're going to give me a selection of games, I'd like to actually see them through. And if you can get that balance right, on the Sony side or whatever, then, like, maybe we all experience more games and we talk about them more on social media and it pushes you towards that service, and those conversations are all way healthier than just, because on Game Pass I see like 10 things come in and they're great, I try and download them all, but then I've got to recycle the next month anyway. I'm not going to get through 10 games in a month. I'm not just on Xbox anyway, so I think there is more improvement to be had there.
It's difficult because I don't know how you could, like, remedy that, because everyone's tastes are going to be so different. Like, you might be looking forward to, you know, Tekken 3 or something, or
I'd love it.
2, but then someone might get to 1 month and just be like, oh, I'm never going to play that. Like, and just because it's there.
But that's the risk of curation. But I would rather they took that risk of curation.
The only reason I would say that might not work, and again, this is very much a personal thing just based on my own habits, is that that's kind of what they have now with this regular PlayStation Plus. You know, you get like 3 or 4 games a month, and I haven't played one of those in like 3 years, man. Like, FIFA 22 was the first one I downloaded and played for the first time in about 3 years, you know, and that's a curated, let's put the spotlight on this. And maybe people play everything that comes in that service, but for me, if it's not something I'm interested in, I'll just be like, oh, I'll wait till next month, you know.
Yeah. I do that thing where I add them to the library anyway, and then maybe over time I'll get back to it. But I think it's weird because I feel like the PlayStation Plus offerings have kind of dropped off a cliff since Game Pass took way off and they knew they couldn't compete, which I feel like is why they're kind of hanging back so they can do it better with this. But yeah, overall, it's an interesting position to be in. I had a whole other half of this podcast planned in regards to games that are coming out for the rest of this year, but we can maybe do that next week because it's such a threadbare 2022 now that Starfield and Redfall are gone. Or is it? Because there's more stuff to talk about. Well, we can do that stuff next week. I do think we're on an interesting precipice in regards to monthly service stuff and Sony getting out there and detailing things. Hopefully there's more to come. Hopefully they maybe put some footage out of before and after comparing emulations with the original versions or whatever. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by James Stiles.
Thank you.
And Josh Brown.
Always a pleasure.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.